traversing the black tunnel without that guidance. Jackal remembered when he had done the same, years ago.
Why?
Jackal whirled on Biro before he could utter another word, shushing him harshly.
Never talk while inside the wall, he whispered. You need to have your ears open for riders in both directions. I don't want to get trampled because some slophead couldn't keep his tongue from flapping.
To the youth's credit, he said nothing more, not even to answer. Jackal continued to lead them through, quickening his pace. When he was Biro's age, he feared being inside the wall, constantly worried the kiln would come under attack and the gates would be closed before he could run the circuit, the ovens heating the passage until he cooked in his own skin. All slopheads needed that fear. It kept them alert and alive. But that was not the reason Jackal began to hurry. Commoner Cavaleros at the kiln meant that Ignacio was paying the Gray Bastards a visit, and that, no doubt, was why Jackal had been summoned. "Get my hog saddled," he told Biro as soon as they emerged into the light of the compound. The youth ran for the stables. One way or another, Jackal figured his punishment was over, and he meant to ride as soon as possible. He entered the meeting hall and made straight for the Claymaster's solar. As expected, he found Captain Ignacio within, slumped in a chair opposite the chief's desk. Balding and homely, with pockmarked skin and rheumy eyes, Ignacio was every bit the common soldier. He was probably of an age with Bermudo, but could pass for his noble counterpart's father, the hard life of a peasant etched into every wrinkle of his swarthy face.
"Jackal,"
Ignacio said with a nod.
"Captain?"
The claymaster looked up, and his mouth curled. Behind him, a pair of dusty ceramic jars rested upon a laden shelf. They were old sapper pots, an alchemical device used in the incursion to blow holes in orc defenses. As a slave, the claymaster had crafted them, shaping the pottery and filling the jars with the volatile substances that made them so damn dangerous. The two relics on the shelf were empty, inert, but Jackal always glanced at them when in the claymaster's solar, as a reminder of the chief's sudden turns in temper.
"I am starting to wish you were drowned at birth, Jack."
Jackal said nothing, waiting on the bad news. The claymaster waved a linen-wrapped hand at Ignacio.
"Tell him!"
The captain looked at Jackal, his tired expression rimmed with frustration.
"Cavalero Garcia's horse returned to the Castile."
Jackal struggled to keep his face placid.
"I found that interesting, Jackal," the claymaster said,
his tone dangerously light.
"I found that very interesting, considering you told me that horse was going to be given to the Sludge Man, along with the Cavalero's body."
"I'll ride out now," Jackal said. "Talk to Sancho. Find out what happened."
"I already did," Ignacio sighed. "The whoremaster did what you asked. He sent a bird to the Sludge Man, and he came the next day, took Garcia and the horse. But that horse turned up outside our gate."
"Jack, care to voice a thought as to why that is?"
the claymaster asked. Jackal shrugged.
"Ask the Sludge Man."
The claymaster's eyes darkened beneath his bandages.
"You going to pass all your mistakes off to him?"
"No, chief."
"I sent a bird. Soon as Ignacio arrived, and told me about this increasing pile of hog shit. Waiting on a reply."
The claymaster hooked a finger in the air from Ignacio to Jackal.
"The rest."
The captain issued another weary breath.
"That man you killed was the son of some shrew up in Vallisoletum, I think. A Marquesa or the like."
Jackal gave no reaction. The names belonging to his Spartan towns and titles meant even less to him than they did to Ignacio. Yet the captain's abiding weariness was chased away as he continued, the worry in his words giving him a rare vitality.
It's said she has a fortune, influence at court. What she don't have is more than one son. You understand what I'm telling you?
Jackal refused to let the captain's anxious tone affect him. He couldn't have meant much to her if he was sent down here. Ignacio huffed.
I don't know what the man did, but exile to the lots could be a mother's love and money at work if the alternative was execution. Mother Marquesa might not be pleased with saving her son from the headman, only to have him die during his first fortnight in the lots.
Jackal looked at the claymaster. Do we care about this? Rumors and royals have no place in the Badlands.
Bermudo cares, Ignacio said,
leaning in his chair to regain Jackal's attention.
The story you fed his new cavaleros? About Garcia attacking his captain and deserting? The fable fit the man's character, so none in Hisparta would likely look further. But now the horse has returned. From Centaur territory, where you said he fucking ran.
A place even Thix don't leave alive, Jackal realized aloud.
Much less some fop's stable-raised prize stallion.
The claymaster snarled.
Your tails come apart, Jack.
Ignacio clicked his tongue.
Bermudo's hounding those newcomers to tell the truth of what happened. For now, they are more frightened of you than him. But how long can that last?
How long was right? Ignacio kept referring to Jackal as Garcia's killer. That meant the young cavaleros really were holding the truth back. If even one of them had let slip it was a female half-orc that put a bolt through Garcia's brain, Ignacio would have known exactly who they meant and told the chief. The claymaster would be handling this very differently with that knowledge.
The horse disproves nothing on its own, but you mark me, Jackal. If that body is discovered, and Bermudo can use it to help himself, he will.
Like paying for passage back to Hisparta by entertaining the Marquesa with my hanging? Ignacio directed a crooked grin at the claymaster.
I thought you said he was a fool. That don't make him stupid, came the reply.
Why would it come to that? Jackal asked the chief. You can't tell me you would hand over one of your own to appease some noblewoman. The claymaster's eyes lit with anger.
Hisparta sets foot on my lot and demands anything. I'll put every last frail they send in the dirt. But it better not come to that. If it does, you won't need to worry about hanging, Jackal. I'll fuel the kiln's ovens with your unthinking carcass.
Jackal hadn't stopped thinking from the moment he entered the room. He turned to Ignacio. Can you keep those cavaleros from talking? Keep their fear alive? Ignacio found that funny and wheezed a laugh.
Keep them from talking and alive? Maybe you are stupid. Me and my men don't linger much at the Castile. We got duties that keep us away, like patrols, and running bad tidings to the hoofs of half-orc riders that stir up shit.
Jackal didn't need the reproach of this tired, useless man. Besides, Ignacio's talk of patrols reminded him of something. Bermudo came to the brothel that morning looking for you, he said. Thought you'd been there with us. Why was that? Ignacio's mouth stretched with annoyance.
To dump those milksops on me. You think he shows them the way of things here? No. Passes that pleasure to me. We're losing the trail, the chief said. Captain ain't here to make a remedy, Jackal. You are.
Then I'll head back to Sancho's and track from there. If Garcia's body is...
No, the claymaster cut him off. I already sent Oates and that bitch you two voted into this hoof to do just that.
What do you want me to do?
Go to the farrowing shed.
Jackal nearly protested, but his mouth locked shut. Something told him this wasn't more punishing chores. Maybe it was the dead tone of the chief's command, or the way Ignacio became very still. Maybe it was the recollection that the hoof had no sows close to birthing a litter. Whatever it was, the command left an uneasy feeling in his gut. Without a word, Jackal left the room. He could hear the discussion continuing as he went down the corridor, Ignacio broaching the subject of payment. Despite the name, the farrowing shed was a sizable building a little removed from the stables and breeding pens, tucked beneath the wall. Jackal ducked into the low, long structure. As he suspected, the birthing stalls were empty. He made his way down the central aisle, through the gloom, his boots silent in the thick carpet of straw spread over wood chips and sawdust. Hogs were the soul of a hoof, the strength. Without them, patrolling the lots, engaging the fix, would be nothing but protracted suicide. The sows that came here to deliver the next generation of mounts were provided comfort, quiet, and care. The claymaster did not allow slopheads inside the farrowing shed, trusting only Grocer, and whatever sworn brethren were requested to assist him to bring piglets into the world. Jackal had little talent for farrowing. He lacked the patience. The only time he'd been asked to help, Grocer had expelled him from the shed. Oates had replaced him, and five healthy barbarians were soon suckling at their coddled mother's teats. The aisle led to a single room at each end. Jackal doubted the claymaster had sent him here to inspect the shed's supplies, so he went left, making for a door that only unfortunate sows ever entered, the ones that no amount of calm and expertise could save if the farrowing took a bad turn. The Mercy Room. He opened the door, releasing muffled sounds of pain and panic. The shed was always kept clean, but the reek of sweat and piss, both gravid with fear, struck Jackal's nostrils. He widened the opening to reveal Hoodwink's unsettling profile. The pale mongrel did not turn at Jackal's intrusion, but continued to stare, unblinking, at the wall behind the door. Hood's hairless skin was the color of dirty linen, without even a tinge of gray or green. Behind his back, the other bastards wondered if he was an albino, but his eyes lacked the strange pink hue found in those with the affliction. No, they were empty, black pits. Six whimpering men, naked and chained, knelt before that pitiless gaze, the gags in their mouths stained with snot and tears. Before those ugly drippings reached the cloth, they left a shiny trail through the mustachios worn by every one of the prisoners. Bermudo's new cavaleros. Jackal ground his teeth to keep his jaw from falling slack. Ignacio had delivered more than news. The men recognized him, too, and all began squirming with renewed vigor. Desperate noises pushed past their gags. Were they pleas or protests? Jackal could not tell. He'd spared them once, but only the woefully ignorant would believe he was there to do it again. He stepped next to Hoodwink, but faced the opposite wall, turning his back to the doomed men. "Have any of them spoken?" he whispered. Hoodwink turned his bald head. "As you hear." The lowing sobs continued. "Claymaster's mad if he thinks this is the way," Jackal said. Hoodwink replied with nothing but his dead stare. There wasn't even a flutter of consideration. Every time Jackal looked at this scarred killer, he was reminded of a snake in the act of swallowing its prey. Slow, silent, remorseless, fixed on its cold purpose. Jackal searched for another path, his thoughts racing and going nowhere. The claymaster had made his choice. Ignacio had played his part, tricked these men into a trap. They didn't know the lots, likely had no idea where they were even once the kiln was in view, as blind and vulnerable as the piglets born in this shed. And Jackal could not save them. The claymaster claimed he would give Hispartha nothing they demanded. He might not have known, but he lied. he would give them fetching. If one of these men ever identified her as Garcia's killer, they would be providing the chief with the chance to be rid of her, absolving the hoof at the same time. Bermudo would have his hanging, the Marquesa her vengeance, and the claymaster would be free of the woman he never wanted in his ranks. Oates and Jackal would not have the votes to prevent it. Unlike the death mask of his fellow executioner, Jackal's face must have betrayed his intent. For Hoodwink spoke, his thin voice at the edge of hearing. "Work fast." Jackal turned and held out a hand to the men. Six pairs of eyes, rolling with white fright, bulged up at him. "Calm now. We are just going to remove your gags." He almost choked on the lie and had to bite back a scream as relief lulled the men into silence. Their faces remained stretched and uncertain. Jackal moved around behind the rightmost man. Hood slid to the other end of the line. The head beneath Jackal's gaze was trembling, the hair drenched. The flesh at the back of the neck had darkened while under Uwundula's hot care, a crescent border separating the paler skin below. Jackal fixated on that line while he drew his knife. The man next in line was watching, craning his neck to see what his future held. Jackal met his eyes, and the deception was uncloaked. The man pushed out a stifled wail, nearly drowning out the squelching thuds of Hoodwink's dagger, punching into exposed flesh in rapid succession. He dropped each man with a single thrust through the back of the neck, moving with brutal efficiency. Four cavaleros were dead before they realized what was happening. The fifth, the screamer, was too focused on Jackal to notice his end approaching in Hood's crimson speckled hand. But the sixth man did. He lurched forward, the need to live making him fast as a hare, clumsy as a drunk. His first step propelled him away from Jackal. His second brought him fully to his feet, but he tripped on the third, head and shoulder bashing the door closed. He rolled over, awkward with his hands shackled behind his back. Spine against the door, he pushed up on his heels, shoulders and chains sliding on the wood. His stricken face was defiant, an earnest, untenable warning against pursuit. Hoodwink's dagger flew into his chest just as he regained his feet, the blade slapping into the man's heart. His defiance broadened to confusion as his legs gave out, dragging him to his rump and lifelessness. Jackal had not made a move. He turned to find Hoodwink standing beside the last living cavalero, a hand pressing down on one shoulder to keep him in place. He needn't have bothered. The man's mind was gone. He was still screaming, howling through his gag until his breath gave out, then filling his lungs and doing it all over again. Hoodwink's stare was fixed on Jackal, calm and expectant.
Chapter 6. The feel of a throat parting beneath sharp steel was still in Jackal's hand. The blood was washed away, but that sickening resistance lingered. Jackal clenched his fists tight to banish the phantom sensation and entered the hoof's supply hall. He found Grocer there, as expected, the old coin clipper muttering orders at a pair of slopheads and watching their every move with ingrained distrust. Since Warbler went nomad, Grocer was the last founding member of the Hoof left other than the chief. It was widely known, but never said aloud, that the quartermaster was actually a frailing, the product of a half-orc mother and a human father. Thin, stingy, and cunning, he managed his hoard of supplies with ill-tempered efficiency. He was so covetous that he never cut his hair, and it fell past his bony ass in a gray-streaked mass of twisted locks. Still, Jackal had seen the aging cuss in a knife fight and would not cross him without damn good reason.
"I have no liniment to spare, Jackal," Grocer told him as he approached the supply counter.
"Liniment? I'm not here for that." Grocer sneered.
aren't you? Figured your nipples would be raw from teat feeding all those whelps at Barrels.
The old coot had a good laugh at his own jest, all the while directing his minions to move various sacks and barrels. It was obvious he was ignorant of the Cavaleros. The Claymaster had taken pains to limit knowledge of that skullduggery. Hood and Jackal had not moved the bodies until night fell over the fortress, taking them away from the farrowing shed in the wheeled cart used to transport deceased hogs. They burned the corpses in the kiln's ovens, tossing them onto the fires the same as cordwood. Jackal wasn't happy about joining the company of Hoodwink and Ignacio, the chief's loyal dogs, and he didn't plan on lying down with them for long. After a sleepless night, he had made up his mind and gone to the supply hall before the chief assigned any further tasks. "I need one of the Sludge Man's birds," he told Grocer. "Claymaster wants to send another message." Grocer eyed him for a moment before stalking back into his stores. Jackal could hear the old coin clipper berating the unseen slopheads that drew the duty of helping him. Years ago, Jackal had loved his tenure in the supply hall and grew to love Grocer, too. It was an affection he had not held on to during his time as a sworn brother. These days he just found the aged frailing tiresome. Grocer returned with a wicker cage containing a docile squab. Jackal took it from his resisting fingers. As he left the supply hall, the old mongrel's voice called after him,
"I want that cage back!"
Not bothering to respond, Jackal began making his way across the yard. Fuck the Claymaster. End Ignacio. End their schemes. Jackal had just been cornered into the butchery of half a dozen men. It was a trap he helped fashion, but stumbling into it and staying in it were two different mistakes. He needed to know why that horse returned to the Castile. If Garcia's body turned up as well, all the killings would count for nothing. Jackal needed to know the corpse had made its way to the Sludge Man. The Claymaster may have sent a message, but whatever answer the Sludge Man returned was not likely to reach Jackal's ears. He wouldn't trust one the chief provided anyway. No, he needed to go to the source, to the old maiden marsh, and speak directly with the Sludge Man. It was a vast amount of wetland to cover, and no one knew exactly where the bog trotter lived. Jackal could have used some help, but the only riders he trusted implicitly were already off at the chief's bidding. Oates and Fetch could be away for days more, and he couldn't wait. He needed to be gone before Grocer made mention of the bird. It was a grievous defiance, one that would likely cause the chief to call for his ousting from the hoof. Let him try. He was allowing orcs to live, executing cavaleros, and hiding it from the hoof. Jackal would turn any attempt to get rid of him into his bid for leadership. He was just entering the shadow of the kiln's great chimney, the last black vestiges of the men he'd helped murder still leaking into the sky, when he spotted the wizard. He was sitting in the shade, his chubby form resting upon a small carpet. As he drew closer, Jackal saw his eyes were closed.
"An errand of great import, friend?" the wizard asked as Jackal passed.
Jackal stopped and looked down to find the fat mongrel looking at him with a lazy grin. "No," Jackal told him.
"Wonderful!"
The wizard stood, agile in spite of his bulk. He was a good bit shorter than Jackal, but his turban made them appear of an even height.
"I beg to accompany you."
Jackal snorted, slightly taken aback. "Beg all you want. No." He kept walking.
"Brave,"
the wizard said, catching up. The movement caused the gold beads dangling from his chin braid to swing.
"But I have heard it is dangerous to go alone into the old maiden marsh."
Jackal stomped to a halt. Had he already been discovered? Could the wizard divine his thoughts? "How do you know where I ride?" he snarled, leaning down threateningly.
The wizard's smile only broadened. He placed the heels of his hands together and gestured at the caged bird in Jackal's hand.
"This small, feathered soul would return there this instant, were you to release him. Simple creatures follow familiar instincts, my friend."
"You know the marsh?"
"I know the bird. Alas, like much of Ulwandulas, I have not seen the old maiden. But I wish to, so I shall come."
"The fuck you will," Jackal said, turning away.
"I think you know I walk where I wish."
Jackal stopped. The wizard's voice retained a courteous, nearly fawning quality, yet there was a threat buried in the thick folds of politeness. Turning back around, Jackal met the shorter half-orc's dancing eyes. "Yes, you do," he said, putting menace in his own tone. "That was a crafty trick, showing up in the passage."
"Truly, I did not intend to cause a stir."
"I just bet you didn't. You got a name?"
"Uhad Ulbadir Taruk Ultani,"
the wizard said, with a small dip of his chin. Jackal blinked. "That name is a fucking nightmare. I'm going to call you Crafty." The wizard smiled.
"This is what you would call a hoof name?"
"This is what I call a name I can say. And as far as I know, you aren't in this hoof yet, because I don't recall a vote."
"Indeed, this is so," the wizard said.
Jackal smiled. If he took the Tyrkanian along, he would be depriving the Claymaster of his favored guest. That was good. He was also giving himself time to take the measure of this stranger. That was better. If the wizard's powers extended beyond surviving being cooked in the kiln tunnel, he could be useful in the marsh. If not, his flabby body would make a heartier meal for a roque than Jackal's. Outrunning him wouldn't be difficult. Jackal clapped the soft flesh of the wizard's shoulder. "If you're not in the hoof, that makes you a hopeful, a slophead. So come along, Crafty, and see the old maiden marsh." The wizard's plump face beamed.
"Much gratitude. Do you think your claymaster will approve?"
Jackal shook his head as he turned to go. "I don't much care. Besides, you walk where you wish, remember? Let's see if you can ride there, too." After going back to roll up his little carpet and tie it to a shapeless bundle of bags, Crafty slung the whole affair across his body.
"Might I know your name, friend?"
"Jackal."
"Ah!"
Crafty held up a finger.
"So named because you can eat anything, have an odious laugh, and mate even with ugly women."
Jackal ground to a halt, his fist clenching, but as he spun on the wizard, he saw the mischievous grin on his face. So, a sense of humor. And a good one. Jackal smiled and relaxed. "You got 2 out of 3. They found Biro waiting at the stables. The youth worked quickly, getting Hearth ready to ride. Jackal gave the slop a nod of approval after giving the hog a quick inspection. "Saddle one of the scouts' hogs," he told Biro as he mounted. "Our new friend is coming along with me." The youth moved to obey, but Crafty stopped him with a gentle touch on the arm.
"No need for this saddle, I am thinking."
"You ride bareback?" Jackal asked, not sure whether to be impressed or doubtful.
"You think it unwise with these beasts?"
"You've never ridden a barbarian before?" Crafty seemed amused.
"Such an interesting name for the animal. No, I have never."
Jackal clamped his teeth and decided to say nothing more. Biro brought a hog up from the pens. It was one the hoof used to train slopheads, but a solid mount. Biro, for all his youth, was no fool, and had selected a larger hog for the corpulent wizard.
"Much gratitude," Crafty said to the boy.
Biro released the hog's swine yanker and stepped away. Jackal watched while Crafty leaned in close to the barbarian's face. He stood there, hunched over, for a long moment, then straightened. Without apprehension, he went around and easily swung his large frame astride the beast.
"I am prepared," he announced, smiling.
"We'll soon find out," Jackal said, and guided Hearth out of the stables. They left the kiln through the tunnel and soon emerged beyond the walls. Jackal turned their course north, and for the first few miles kept one eye on Crafty, watching him ride. The fat sack had a terrible seat, his balance was horribly off, and his feet dangled far too low. By rights, he should have fallen off already, yet somehow he stayed on the hog's back, that same dreamy grin still splitting his broad face. Jackal had seen a dozen slopheads with more natural affinity for riding dumped into the dust within minutes of mounting a hog, but this silk-swaddled sand-eater was still aloft when they reached the River Lucia, and all without a saddle. Jackal gave up wondering about the stranger and focused on leading their journey. He followed the river's course westward for several hours until he reached the confluence of the Lucia and the smaller Alhundra. Here he turned southwest, keeping the Alhundra to his right. It was not the most direct path, but it ensured they stayed well clear of centaur lands. This journey was going to be treacherous enough without running into a band of horsecocks drunk on wine and the words of their crazed oracles. Without trusted companions, Jackal would be easy prey for even a small group, be they tars, tines, or thicks. Jackal kept Hearth at a mile-eating pace, certain he would soon be slowing for Crafty, but the wizard never fell behind. Indeed, within hours he had grown even more adept on the hog and was now riding beside Jackal. He surveyed the land with a keen interest and a look of appreciation, the fervor in his eyes undiminished by the glaring sun. Now knowing that Crafty's fat ass wasn't going to go spilling onto the ground, Jackal slowed Hearth to a trot.
"Why are you here, Tyrkanian?" he asked.
The wizard gave a small hum.
"I was born in Alunan."
When Jackal failed to see the point, Crafty gave him a little wink.
"Which is a land separate from Tyrkania, though I was educated there."
"None of that answers my question."
"No," Crafty agreed. "I simply wanted to see this."
He swept a hand out across their surroundings.
"Ulwundulas, the Lot Lands, much contested doorstep of great Hisparta. That infantile kingdom sits above, below Dargest, its vast deserts and strangling jungles conquered by the black grip of the orc. They peer hungrily northward across the deluged sea to the soft lands of man. Hisparta, Anvil, Guabia. Yet the water thwarts the savages, for shipbuilding is a mystery to them. Indeed, the drowned homeland of the elves wards a quarter of the known world from its enemies of yesterage. Yet the orcs have one crossing, one place where Dargest puckers to nearly kiss Ulwundulas."
"The gut," Jackal said. The wizard patted the side of his broad nose with a finger.
"Little more than 2 leagues of sea. Nothing the muscles of an orc cannot swim with ease. And they do. Arriving here in the famed badlands of Ulwundulas, site of their last defeat, where mongrels ride hogs and none bend a knee."
Jackal was unable to suppress a bark of laughter. "Sounds like you've studied a map and read some books. Now that you are here, you can see this land for what it is. A nasty old quilt. Ugly, hot, dry, infested, and made up of many clashing patches."
"And yet you love it," Crafty observed.
"Most days," Jackal admitted. "There are no kings here, true enough. No sultans or caliphs. Just us. The hoofs. Free to ride."
"This is what I heard, even in my homelands. From boyhood I was told we half-orcs have a place in the lots. This I have long yearned to see, before it is gone.
Jackal stared hard at the wistful look on the wizard's face.
Gone? The lots aren't going anywhere. Not so long as the gray bastards and the other hoofs remain. We keep the fix cold.
Ah, but are there not other threats, friend Jackal?
What, like the centaurs? Jackal shook his head. They're dangerous, but they can't bear to leave their temples and orgies for very long. Stay clear of those, and the Knights of a Betrayer Moon is all the threat they pose. And if you mean the elves, they hate the orcs worse than we do. They may have different blood, but the Tines are a hoof, just like the bastards. So long as the lot's boundaries are respected, we have no quarrel.
But no alliance either.
Jackal got the impression he was being tested somehow. It was annoying, considering he had brought the Easterner along to find out his motives. "So you're not here to join the bastards," Jackal said. "You're just passing through on, what, some damn pilgrimage?"
"Of a sort, yes,"
Crafty replied softly.
"Of a sort."
Jackal could not seem to get the upper hand with this stranger. Indeed, the more he discovered about the wizard, the less he knew. He had certainly named him well. Jackal was not too proud to admit that Crafty was far more intelligent than he. Still, Jackal had also been aptly named, and his own cunning, however low, had not failed him yet. The scrublands on either side of the river began to house more frequent stands of trees. After a wide, lazy bend, the Alhundra turned almost directly south, flowing and falling over rocky outcroppings as the ground descended over languid miles toward the wetlands. Jackal decided they should camp as the sun began to set, finding a grove of alder not far from the river bank. Not wanting to risk a fire, he ate figs while Hearth dined on acorns out of his hand. Crafty merely drank from an earthenware bottle he produced from his bundle of belongings.
"You're kind of a fat fuck not to be hungry," Jackal said, seeing if the wizard would take offense. But whatever he was, Crafty was not prickly. He merely smiled that smile of his.
"Perhaps Ulwundulas will transform me into something akin to you, friend Jackal, an impressive specimen of the half-orc, festooned with hard muscle. Truly, the human patrons of the pleasure houses in Ul-Kadim pay richly for well-formed mongrel males such as you."
"I thought those places only allowed men to pay for flesh," Jackal said. Crafty gave him a knowing nod.
"They do."
Jackal grimaced, which caused Crafty to laugh.
"So in Ulwundulas you are free but not enlightened. Do not the elves love as they will?"
"I wouldn't know." Crafty smiled at his discomfort.
"I shall shift the winds of our talk, to spare you. This sluice man we seek, he is important?"
"Off-putting is what he is," Jackal said, "and it's Sludge Man. He single-handedly holds one of Ulwundulis's most vulnerable borders against the orcs, so he's valued in the lots. When we reach the wetlands, you'll see. No hoof could ever dwell in the marsh. Thwarts the hardiest hogs and best riders. The Sludge Man, he's a hoof unto himself."
"One man does this?" Crafty asked, sounding impressed. "How?"
It was Jackal's turn to smile. "You'll see." They passed the rest of the night in silence. Trusting the hog's keen senses to alert him to any danger, Jackal lay down upon his blanket, but he slept little. Dawn came quickly and saw the pair riding once more. The Old Maiden Marsh began some 40 miles from the sea, a massive swath of flat land dotted with thickets, choked with bogs, and lacerated by shallow streams. Before the orc incursion, the wetlands had been used as a hunting preserve for the kings of Hisparta. The manors and castiles that had once dotted the borders of the marsh were torn down by one side or the other during the war,
but Jackal spotted a few pitiful ruins as he guided Hearth across the most passable mudflats. He pointed them out to Crafty, who nodded appreciatively. At War's End, the Crown withheld the marsh during the lottery, Jackal told him. Whichever king was alive back then wanted to restore it to the royal family. Several of his cousins foolishly tried to resettle the area, but were run off within months. Orcs still use the marsh to sneak deep into the lots after they've swum the gut, though even they often find the wetlands impassable. There's much that lives in the Old Maiden that makes even a thick think twice before entering.
Yes, Crafty said. I have heard many of the Old Maiden's natural inhabitants are quite formidable. Rooks, yes?
Keep one eye on the sky. Following his own advice as they continued, Jackal remained watchful for the huge predatory birds. The rooks nested in the wetlands, but their need for prey took them far beyond its borders. A single rook was capable of lifting Hearth in its talons, soaring high enough to let the hog fall to his death before swooping down to feed. A few well-aimed thrumbolts could drive the massive raptors off, but without others to assist, Jackal wondered if he could shoot fast enough. As for Crafty, he did not appear to carry any weapons. By noon, the hogs began to have difficulty with the increasingly soggy ground. Jackal realized they would need to be left behind. Hearth could power through the mire with brute force and stubbornness, but the slophead hog, with Crafty's weight atop him, would have a tough time. Jackal led them to a thicket of pitiful pines, and removed the messenger bird's cage from the saddle, hanging it on his own belt beside his quiver. He dismounted, and Crafty followed his lead. The trees, Jackal motioned above, scrubby as they are, will help protect the hogs from any circling rooks. Think your wide butt can handle a march? Crafty gave a single, smiling nod. Give those feathered fucks the tusks if they try and swoop in here, Jackal told Hearth, knuckling him between the eyes.
And you do likewise, Crafty told his own hog,
with an instructional wag of his finger.
To those fucks with feathers.
Jackal left Hearth untethered, knowing he would stay put for at least a day before hunger whittled away even the best training. He wasn't certain the slop hog would be so patient, but he couldn't worry about that now. Jackal offered Crafty one of his javelins to help steady his steps through the marsh, but the wizard waved it off. Favoring a loaded stock bow in his hands, Jackal put the javelin back in the saddle quiver and struck out. Armed with the thrum, his tulwar, his knife, and one caged bird, Jackal ventured into the Old Maiden on foot with a mysterious fat wizard. All because he had lied to protect a cock-punching ingrate.
Shit on you for a friend, Fetching, he said under his breath.
Chapter 7 Jackal and Crafty spent hours picking their way from one small, soggy island of yellow grass to the next, often wading knee-deep in murky channels to reach the next spot of solid ground. They headed deeper into the marsh until no more trees were in sight. Then, Jackal released the bird. The squab took flight frantically at first, but settled as it rose. Jackal kept his gaze fixed on the bird until he could see it no more. "Due west," he said, "directly into the Old Maiden's heart."
"You think this slug man lives within?" Crafty asked.
"Sludge man," Jackal corrected. "And yes, I know he does. Just not exactly where. Between here and the ocean is nothing but countless miles of quagmire and salt marsh."
"Then let us have hope he does not live on the coast," Crafty said with good humor.
Jackal breathed his agreement and followed the direction taken by the squab. It was late spring, the heat of the sun adding weight to the muggy air. Swarms of biting flies coalesced in humming clouds over the deeper pools. Occasionally, small groups of wild boar could be seen
picking their way through the marshland.
"Let's keep our distance," Jackal told Crafty, pointing at the pigs. "Those are the rogue's favorite prey."
He need not have worried so much about the birds. An hour later, they saw the first sludge.
It crawled off to their left, easily within thrumshot, tracking them. The thing was nearly the size of a bull, but was still difficult to spot when not in motion, appearing to be nothing but another dark, putrid pool amongst the marum grass. Its black, glistening form slid atop land and water with equal fluidity. Sludges reminded Jackal of giant, featureless leeches made of tar. He shuddered and stopped, searching the marsh for more of the creatures. To his increasing unease, he found another an equal distance to his right, and two more behind.
"You got anything like that back in Tyrkanya?" he asked Crafty.
The wizard was motionless, studying the creatures with no hint of trepidation.
"No," he said. "Not enough water for them to survive, I am thinking."
"The old-timers swear the things didn't exist before the war." Crafty knelt on his haunches, his hands toying idly with some marsh grass as he watched the sludges.
"No doubt they are correct," he said. "These are the loathsome result of spells. The accounts of the incursion I have been fortunate to read claim that it was here the elves first came to Hisparta's aid. Their shaman unleashed fearsome amounts of magic in their attempts to stop the invading orcs. Yet the orcs have their own sorcery. Perhaps these sludges are the children of so much conflicting energies mating over fields of death."
Jackal did not know, nor did he care to. The presence of the sludges meant only that he was likely close to his destination.
"Let's keep moving," he said.
The creatures continued to shadow them throughout the day, never drawing nearer or farther. Near dusk, two more of the fuliginous blobs appeared ahead. Now Jackal and Crafty were completely surrounded. Jackal had the unnerving suspicion they were being led, herded. A cluster of five low structures took shape ahead, rising out of the muck on stout beams. Crude walkways of rotten planking, supported on similar beams, crisscrossed the marsh surrounding the buildings. Jackal and Crafty's laborious steps brought them directly to one of these precarious constructions, leading straight across a sizable lagoon toward the largest of the four buildings. As they traversed the creaking, moss-slick wood, the sludges continued to follow, keeping to the waters, drifting unctuously across the surface. Jackal stopped in the middle of the walkway.
"Sludge Man!" he called. "It is Jackal of the Gray Bastards!"
There was no response. No movement. The sludges had paused when he did. Continuing across, Jackal reached the main hut. The roof was thatched with swamp grass, the walls made of woven reeds. There was no door, so Jackal leaned cautiously through the threshold. A few fishing nets hung from the ceiling, in desperate need of repair, and a cold fire pit skulked beneath a hole in the thatching. Otherwise, the hut was empty. Jackal did not know what he expected to find. If the Sludge Man's creatures had turned on him, there would be nothing left. Ducking out of the hut, Jackal saw Crafty still watching the six blobs floating near the center of the lagoon.
"They have no eyes," the wizard said. "Yet I feel distinctly that they watch us."
Jackal hated to agree. There was a horrible, mute patience to the creatures.
Crafty cocked one eye over his shoulder.
"You say this man we seek, he controls them?"
"No one knows exactly how, but yes. They seem to obey him. They can fully consume whatever they envelop. Makes for a good way to get rid of corpses."
Much need for such a service here in Urwandulas, friend Jackal?
Ignoring that, Jackal tapped Crafty on the shoulder, urging him away from the main lagoon. Let's check these other sheds and be on our way before those things decide your lard-covered bones would make a good meal. Crafty pointed to the two buildings to the right of the main hut.
I shall inspect these.
Jackal nodded and began making his way to the remaining pair of sheds to the left. They were barely half the size of the sludge man's domicile, and, being made from the same waterlogged materials, also lacked doors. Leading with his stock bow, Jackal looked within the first shed and found nothing. Nothing stored, no refuse, nothing. It was not the same with the second. It held a tattered hanging on the wall opposite the door, some torn and mildewed tapestry depicting a goat on a black shield. Beneath this curiosity sat a pair of large chests, the wood waterlogged, black and rotten, the iron fittings barnacled with rust. The distorted lids could not properly close, and Jackal lifted one with the toe of his boot to find coins nested within, a fortune in gold and silver begrimed with silt. Perhaps it was the unexpected sight of such treasure, but Jackal sensed that his presence intruded. The building retained the tense, whispering air of a dwelling, the walls imbued with the breath and motion of an inhabitant. He spun at a touch upon his shoulder and nearly loosed a bolt into Crafty. Hells, Jackal cursed quietly. Make more noise when you walk. Come, the wizard said, his face placid. You must see this. What? Crafty turned without a response and led Jackal back across the gangplanks, again passing the main hut as they approached the other set of sheds. The sludges remained in the lagoon, their forms pulsing ever so slightly upon the dark water. The wizard stopped and nodded toward the nearest shed. Even before he entered, Jackal noticed this particular building, though no larger than the others, was more solidly constructed. It still had no door, but the walls were made of mud brick, as was the domed roof. Jackal stepped within and lurched to a stop. A sludge had attached itself to every wall, save that of the entry, its black mass curving upward to partially cover the ceiling. A naked woman was imprisoned in the oily substance. Her hands were encased up to the wrists and hung from the ceiling, while her feet were held in the wall behind, causing her to dangle forward, her spine bent cruelly. Her head hung low between straining shoulders, a tangled mass of filthy hair hiding her face. The flush of her flesh and the rhythmic pulse of her belly signaled she still lived. Jackal removed the bolt from his stockbow and slung the weapon over his shoulder. He took a slow step farther into the room, wary of any motion from the sludge. Other than the slow, incessant rippling across its surface, the creature did not stir at his trespass. Another cautious step brought Jackal within reach of the captive, and he carefully cupped her unseen face in his hands, raising her head while he squatted slightly. The woman's eyes were closed, her tanned skin feverish to the touch. She whimpered ever so slightly, but did not awaken. Whether this was caused by the sludge or the more mundane hardships of captivity, Jackal could not guess. She was slim, but well-muscled, not emaciated from hunger, and though her skin was grimy, there were no obvious wounds. The creature did not appear to be harming her, merely acting as a living restraint. As Jackal slowly released her head, his fingers brushed against her ears. Frowning, he moved her hair away to confirm with his eyes what his touch conveyed. The prisoner's ears were pointed. Jackal backed slowly out of the shed. he found Crafty sitting with his back to the wall of the building, facing the lagoon. A strange, sizable brass bottle with a bulbous base was standing upon the planks beside him, and the wizard was busy retrieving other oddments from his belongings. His motions were sure and practiced, his eyes never leaving the sludges in the lagoon.
"That girl is an elf," Jackal said.
"Yes, I saw."
Crafty continued with his puzzling chore, now opening a compartment at the top of the bottle and filling it with what looked like a bunch of dried herbs and some dark powder. Next, he poured some liquid from a skin into another part of the bottle. Finally, he affixed a thin, serpentine brass tube into a shunt near the bottom of the curio. Jackal watched all this with growing aggravation.
"She could be a Tyne. The elves don't tattoo the members of their hoof, so I can't be sure. What the fuck is she doing here?"
This last he said mostly to himself, but Crafty answered anyway.
"Clearly, she is of some use to the demon you seek."
Jackal glared.
"Demon?"
Crafty now had the thin tube between his lips, and his plump cheeks worked rapidly for a moment. Vapors soon leaked out of the wizard's nostrils and snaked out between his lips as he removed the pipe. Jackal wrinkled his nose at the cloying odor.
"Yes," Crafty replied. "The sludge man. Indeed, even his name is a lie, for he is no man. Of this I am now certain."
"Oh no, he's a frail. Just one with a few weird talents and some deadly pets. We need to get this girl out of here, but I don't know how to begin freeing her."
"In a moment," Crafty offered, "you may be able to inquire of her captor."
Following the wizard's gaze, Jackal saw another sludge approaching from across the lagoon. This one was larger than the other six, forcing them to slither out of the way as it passed. The big sludge made directly for the landing that Jackal and Crafty occupied. Knowing it would be of no use, Jackal unslung his stock bow and loaded a bolt. Beside him, Crafty continued to sit and suck upon his complex pipe, exhaling the vapors without apparent care. As the big sludge reached the edge of the walkway, it changed fluidly from a crawl to a cresting rise. Now nearly vertical, the creature stretched upward until it equaled Jackal in height. He could have reached out and touched the thing, it was so close. His own image was reflected back at him from the shiny black surface. A protuberance began to form at the top of the sludge, the membrane puckering as a round shape began to emerge. It was the head of a man. The eyes came clear of the sludge already open and staring directly at Jackal. The sludge man rose from the body of the creature, his pale, rounded shoulders quickly following a face molded with hostility. No trace of the sludge remained on his skin, but was birthed clean and corpse white. Once his bare torso was free, the sludge man ceased rising. The sludge continued to embrace him from below his sizable paunch, holding him up to weave unctuously above the planking. Beneath his wild, thinning hair, the sludge man's suspicious eyes narrowed. His mouth hung open, his tongue sliding in front of his lower teeth, causing his bottom lip to protrude stupidly for a moment before he spoke.
"Why are you here, half-breed?"
The sludge man's voice was deep, full of danger, and possessed a thick, mumbling quality.
"To find you," Jackal said, "and to find out why you broke faith with the gray bastards."
The sludge dipped slightly and leaned so that the sludge man could get a better look at Crafty, sitting behind Jackal. After a moment's scrutiny, the column of living muck straightened once more.
"The Hisparthen is gone, half-orc," the sludge man told Jackal. My lovelies ushered him into the black parlor. The faith is sundered only by you, who come unwelcome to our suzerainty.